Among my first Aussie correspondents, first of all, of course, Fred Meyer, though I had already received a couple of messages from Dick Martin via Maxine Rieckhoff, who was the editor of Riley and Lee. She gave the manuscript to Dick, of course, for him to read, to illustrate and all. And that was the first intimation I had that I was not alone. Dick sent me a couple of messages by Maxine, one of which gently but firmly informed me that there were two other unicorns in Oz and that my unicorn could not call itself unique, which is what Lynn and I had been doing with our unicorn. So we had to do a fan dance with that one and make her the only fairy unicorn in Oz and so on. I'm not quite sure how gracefully we got out of it. Yeah. But that was the first little intimation I had that I was going to get a good deal of scrutiny on all this stuff. So in my first letter to Fred, I was apologizing for this goof, and I had already apologized to Dick, and of course changed the manuscript, and telling and promising Fred to be more, that we would be more careful, and telling him how surprised Lynn and I were to have so much company in our devotion to the Oz books. And then I began to hear from all sorts of other people. The Green Twins, John Fricke, Justin Schiller, he was at that time a junior at Ithaca College, majoring in English, who told me that 6 years before, that is 1957, and it all seems so not very long ago, and it really was, when he issued the first Bomb Bugle, there were only 16 members in the club, and he himself was 14 years old. Now really, that's really astonishing, isn't it? That 16 members to how many are you now?
Almost 1,500.
That's quite a bit for 26 years. I remember a letter from Irene Fisher, one from Jim Half, and one from Henry S. Blossom from the Virgin Islands, and I never dreamed he would turn up here today. I met him for the first time. I was delighted. His letter said, "I do not plan to be an author. I am a machinist and likely always will be." And guess what he did then? He wrote a book. In fact, he halfway blamed me for it today, too. In fact, I got so many letters when the sale of the merry-go-round got really rolling that I felt as if I had unwittingly stepped under a waterfall of mail, a sort of Niagara. And I really couldn't cope with it. If a writer spends all his time answering letters, he soon ceases to be a writer of anything but letters. And I have always answered every single letter that I ever got from a reader. But I found for the first time that I simply couldn't do it. I've even answered whole sixth grade's worth, you know, all stuffed in one manila envelope. But this I couldn't cope with. So I was working, too. I was working on Greensleeves at the time, a book of mine that was just the very devil to write. And I was really struggling, and I didn't need any more problems. So I took a step I felt guilty about ever since. I wrote Maxine Rieckhoff and said, "Can you take the heat off me some way? Can you do something about this?" And I wanted her to bail me out, but I was afraid of what she was going to do, and I still, to this day, I don't know what she did or how she did it. The deluge stopped. It later grew from a little trickle again to a good-sized all-year-round brook, which is great, and I can handle that, and I love it. But I don't know what she did, and if any of you about 19 and a half years ago got a letter that said a little postcard, maybe, or printed something that said, "Mrs. McGraw received your letter and thanks you for your interest. Please forgive me." I hope she didn't do it that way, but I don't know what she did. And I really want to apologize, but I couldn't help it. I couldn't handle it.